Good morning, everybody. Welcome. Thank you for coming. We've got a very exciting shir ahead of us, Bezrat Hashem, this morning. Lots of very fundamental questions that affect our lives today as well. Next week, just for a bit of housekeeping, I'm not going to be here next week. In the Torah Tidbits, I think it still says that I am, but my plan is not to be here for next week, but that's just a one-week break. In 2 weeks from now, I hope to be back in the run-up to Pesach. We'll soon be back in Pesach issues. I'd like to present some new, there are always new things to say about Pesach. Okay, Rabbi Bernstein, one of my mentors and Rabbonim many years ago, used to say, why do they print a new, of course he said it in an Irish accent, he said, why do they print a new Haggadah every year, he used to say. He says, because last year's Rosh is this year's Chochem. Because that was one of his, yeah, that was one of his good takeaway lines. But there are always new things to say about Pesach. But we'll get there when we get there. For now, we're in a different sugya. Can I just remind you, please, to turn off your phones? That would be very helpful. And also, can I thank the sponsors for today and for the whole of 2023 that the Shirim have been sponsored anonymously, Le'ilu Nishmos, Brana Ves Brandit, and Zelig Ben Kalman. We're very grateful for the sponsorship. Now, last week, we began a discussion about Mazal and astrology. Let's recap very quickly what we said last week. There are psukim in the Torah, in Vayikra, in Dvarim, that say that we cannot involve ourselves in the occult and in superstition. Nichush, which is some kind of superstition, predictions. Ma'oinein, which is lucky times and unlucky times, and we'll get to Av and Adar in a minute. We're not allowed to do strange necromancies like Oiv and Yidoni and Doresh al Hamesim. The Torah says flat that these things are prohibited, and then it says in a positive mitzvah, on the contrary, we have to be tamim. Tamim, tihyeh im Hashem Elokecha. We're not allowed to turn to these things for the future. We have to accept what comes in the future. You know, we can't control the future. You never know what's going to happen. Be'ezras Hashem, in the long term, what comes to us is meant to come to us. And if you really want to know what to do in the future, ask a Navi. These days we are, we're very lacking in that. We are officially a non-profit organization. And therefore Nevi'im are not on our radar. Nevi'im are not on our radar, and which is a big lack. And therefore there's even more reason why people feel the need to turn to these things. So we looked at that in the Psukim. Absolute no. However, then we turn to the Gemaras. And we started looking, we'll finish today our look at the Gemaras. The Gemaras seems to take a different view. Specifically the Talmud Bavli. Now, Babel was the home of astrology. Astrology originated, the constellations and understanding how they affect our lives originated in Babel. And the Talmud Bavli seems to take the zodiac very clear, very seriously. And which day of the week you're born. Remember we looked through that in the Pinkas of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. And Rabbi Chanina says, it's not the day of the week that you're born, it's the hour of the day, which constellation is rising, which planet is rising in the hour that you're born. They will have an impact on your life. Now, we will see today that the Rambam and the Ramban and others with them disagree very strongly on how to read those Gemaras. And we'll see some quite controversial statements today of the Rambam and how they were received. But the Rambam, we'll see, says no. These Gemaras are not actually the way things work, which is fine, but what does he do with the Gemaras? Does he just dismiss them? Does he reject them for some other reason? However, the Rambam, and we saw last week, everybody agreed, and maybe still agrees to some degree, that when God runs the world, he does through a system of middle management, if you like. It's not direct implementation of God's will in every second to every person. But there is a system. Now, you can call that system whatever you want. There are different ways of describing it. You can call it the Malachim, the angelic system, the Aristotelian spheres, you know, the moon and the sun and the stars and all the planets, etc. You can call it Mazal, that there's a drip. Mazal means literally to drip. There's a drip feed coming down. You can call it Hashkacha. There's Hashkacha Pratis. There's Hashkacha Klalis. And we need, one of the things I find so interesting about this topic is it intersects with many other areas, like, for example, Hashkacha. Is Hashkacha Pratis and Hashkacha Klalis, general providence and specific providence, the same thing that we're talking about here? Is this Mazal or is that not Mazal? And that's one of the things I actually want to turn to in 2 weeks from now, to finish this topic before we move into more Pesach-focused things, to try and connect these with the Hashgacha debate. Many people do not really get what the Rishonim say about Hashgacha process. We live in a very Kabbalistically oriented world, where every leaf and every blade of grass has a Hashgacha saying, you know, this is what you have to do. That's not the world that the Rambam and most of the Rishonim understood to be our world, but we'll see when we get there in a couple of weeks, Be'ezrat Hashem. The topic also intersects with idolatry. What's the difference between mazal and idolatry? Where's the line between them? So I understand it like this. Maybe this is not the only way to understand it, but even if the world is controlled through a system of hierarchies, idolatry is where we turn to those hierarchies and ask for help. Either we say, well, there are different powers, God is running this, but there's someone independent running that. That's a kind of dualism, that's clearly idolatry. But even if we say, I don't feel that I can deal with the top management, I'm going to deal with the person working in the front of the shop, and I'll, you know, they will get me what I need. That, for certainly for a Jew, is idolatry. So if I turn to the mazalot, and I turn to the planets, or I turn to the angels, and ask them for stuff, that is borderline or actual idolatry. Now, of course, you're already thinking, well, you know, don't we say Shalom Aleichem, Malachei Hashareis? Okay, to say hello is good. Boachem l'shalom, that's okay, come in peace. Baruchuni l'shalom, we know there are people who don't say that. Don't we go to Kivrit Tzadikim? Do we ask them for help, or do we ask them to intercede? There is a line which is a fine line. Once you're asking the middle management to help you, Mama Rachel, what are you saying to Mama Rachel? Are you saying, please God, help us in the merit of Rachel Imenu, or are you turning to Rachel Imenu for help? There's a very big difference between those things. So I'd say that idolatry is where you start to relate to this middle management for help. But understanding that the world comes down from Hashem through this system, that's not idolatry. But you might be superstitious and think there's certain ways of manipulating the system or predicting it, and that's what we're dealing with here. It also deals with the issue of free will. We'll talk about free will as we get through. So we've got a lot to do today. Eyes down, we've got a roller coaster ride. Let's finish off first of all with some sources in Chazal, in the Gemara, and then we'll get into the Rambam and the Rambam. First of all, just to repeat two sources we saw last week, just to catch everybody up. Number one, says the Gemara, Minayin she'ein sholim b'chaldoim. How do we know that there is a prohibition to speak to ask astrologers? Chaldaim, the Chaldeans, they were the ultimate astrological, innovators. How do we know we're not allowed to speak to the Chaldeans? Oh, we have to be straightforward, pure, simple, accept what God gives us, not try and use these astrologers to get to the future. And we saw last week, on the other hand, nevertheless, that there are Gemaras which say that astrology seems to affect us. Mazel affects us. Remember last week we saw the lives of Rabba versus the lives of Rav Chisda. Rabba, Nebuch, he died at 40, he had 60 funerals in his family, and he had no money. Rav Chisda, he died at 92, he had 60 weddings in his family, and he had more money than he knew what to do with. And both of them were great tzaddikim. They both davened for the rain, and the rain came. How do you explain that, says the Gemara? One had good mazel, Nebuch. One had bad mazel. It seems that mazel is very important, even though we shouldn't be looking for it. Number two, Itzma, Rebbe Chanina, we'll see him again and again today. Mazel machkim, mazel mashir, v'yesh mazel Yisrael. Mazel is what makes you rich. Mazel is what makes you wise, and the Jews are subject to mazel. Rebbe Yochanan Amar, ein mazel Yisrael. And we have, therefore, a debate. What does that mean, ein mazel Yisrael? Rashi, number three, this is again, we saw this last week, Yesh Mazal Yisrael, Rashi explains, She'ein tfila utzdaka mishana es ha-mazal. There's nothing you can do to change your mazal. You can daven all your life. You can give tzedakah. You can do mitzvahs. Your mazal is your mazal.
What's the shlemazal?
Always the shlemazal. Oh, yeah, shlemazal. Yeah? You know the difference between the shlemil and the shlemazal? The shlemil drops the coffee on the shlemazal. Okay, fine. So Yesh Mazal Yisrael, which is Rabbi Chanina, is that you can't change it. Now, we saw in the Gemara last week, if you're born under Mars, says Rabbi Chanina, you're a bloodthirsty person. But you can choose, you want to be a shochet, you want to be a highwayman, you want to be a mile, you want to be a dentist. They have to draw plenty of blood, don't they? You know, you can choose what profession you want to go. You can work within your mazel, but you can't change it. However, ain't mazal b'Yisrael. Rabbi Yochanan's position number 3 in the second line says Rashi. That means he says da'al yidei tefila uschut mishtane mazalot letova. That through davening you can indeed change your mazal, and we'll see that there is a majority position in the Gemara, ain mazal Israel, which is probably what you've heard. Rabbi Yochanan, we saw with Avram Avinu that he says he can't have children. We saw this last week, and God says you can change your mazal. We'll see Shmuel today says ain mazal b'Israel. Once you have Rabbi Yochanan, Rav, and Shmuel saying ain mazal b'Israel, really, Rabbi Chanina doesn't stand a chance with Yesh Mazel B'Yisrael. That's like there's too much going on. That's a real psak. Interestingly, a psak in Hashkafa, almost, but that's another subject which we've dealt with. So too, you see in number 4, similar themes of Ein Mazel B'Yisrael. Number 4, this is a new source. Tan Rabbanan, Bizman She'acham Aloike, if you witness a solar eclipse, Simon Ra Le'ovdei Kochavim, it is a bad simon for the non-Jews. Levan Aloike, but if you witness a lunar eclipse, Simon ra l'soneihem shel Yisrael. And so name Yisrael is a euphemism for the Jews themselves. It's bad for the Jews. A lunar eclipse is bad for the Jews. A solar eclipse is bad for the non-Jews. I remember when we had a solar eclipse in England or partial eclipse. There was a shaila, can you say a brocha? Can you not say a brocha? Is it a simon ra? It is a simon toiv. In the end, the Dayanim passed them not to say a brocha, but they watched it. Mipnei she Yisrael, moinim l'levana, because the Jews can by the moon. V'ovdei kachavim l'chama. And the non-Jews by the sun, fine. Loike b'mizrach, if there's an eclipse in the east, simon ra l'yoshvei mizrach, it's bad for people who are living in the east. B'marav, simon ra l'yoshvei marav. B'emsa rakia, if it's in the middle of the sky, simon ra l'kol ha'olam kula. Now, here's the key. U'bizman she'Yisrael oisim return shamakom, but when the Jews are doing what they're meant to do, ein misyarim mikol elu, then you can forget about all this. Don't worry about it. Ein mazal b'Yisrael. Shenema koyama Hashem al derech agoyim al tilmadu. Yirmiyahu says, "Don't learn from the non-Jews." And ma'oseh shemaim al teichatu. Don't fear the signs of the heavens. Ki yichatu hagoyim mehema. They're the ones that have to worry about it because they can't get out of mazel. Goyim yichatu the ein Yisrael yichatu. Again, ein mazel b'Yisrael, you can get out of it. Similarly, number 5, the Tanya, it's mispah yamecha amalei. What's that posuk mean? I will fulfill your days. Elu shnei doros. That's the years. These are the years. Shani doros. Zachar, if you have a schus, mashlimin loy. Loy zachar poiskim loy. If you don't have a schus, then you'll have less years. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. That's Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Chachamim omrim zachar schus can moisifin loy, can get you more years. Loy zachar, but without schus poiskim loy, you'll have less years. So what schus mean? Merit. Sounds like you can do something about it. If you look, I brought you Tosfos, which we're not going to read all of them, 6, 7, 8, and 9, are 4 Tosfosim across Shas that deal with this issue. First of all, they pour a little bit of cold water on it. And they say, number 6, Ela hakolafis chosoi, it all depends on your merit. Peirush, what does that mean? Lefi mazloi. Your mazl. I'm sorry. Just when you thought that a mitzvah would help. Debani, v'chayi, u'mazoini, la b'schus atalya milsa, ela b'maz atalya milsa. Okay? So does he hold Yesh Mazel b'Yisrael? No, he explains. So this explains 7, 8, and 9, basically the same thing. Look for example, in number 7, Ein Mazel b'Yisrael. Ah, v'hada amarabba b'shili morikotin, when we said, Boni chayi mazoni, la b'schus atalya milsa, ela b'maz atalya milsa, he doesn't say that's the opinion of Rabbi Chanina, meaning Yesh Mazel b'Yisrael. He says, no, even according to the way we pass an Ein Mazel b'Yisrael, for most people, it's going to be mazel that counts. But mikol makom al yidei schus gadol, if you're an Avram Avinu, if you have a big merit, mishtana, then you can change it. Aval pa'amim, but many times, she'ein ha-mazel mishtana. You can't guarantee it. So even if we say ein mazel b'Yisrael, which let's say we now paskan, and we'll see that clearly that is the position we take, it's very hard to change your mazel. You could, in theory. You can daven, you can give staka, but can you rely on it? And this is where we're going to have to ask a practical question. Let's say the astrologers tell you, not the stuff you read in the newspapers, which is obviously nonsense. Everybody agrees that's nonsense. They never say anything useful, right? You look up your horoscope. They say, oh, you're a Gemini? You'll have a big decision to make this week. Well, how helpful is that? They never say, watch out for that pothole on 34th Avenue Street. You're going to get a puncture. You know, they never say anything useful. They say you're going to have the big... That's nonsense. But let's say a real astrologer, someone proven to have got it right, says to you, don't go to Beit Bagan on Thursday. Beit Bagan, your mazel is bad there. What should you do? So we'll see that the Ramban says, Tosfos is saying, well, you can daven, you can give tzedakah, but can you rely on that? Can you rely that you're a big enough tzaddik to change your mazel? Maybe not. You shouldn't have gone asking the astrologer, but now that you know, maybe they called you up, now that you know, you better not risk it. How can you risk it? A mazel Yisrael? I don't know. I am not a big tzaddik. Whereas the Rambam is going to tell you, if you change your plans, if you don't go to Beit Bagan on Thursday just because this guy in the astrology department said that you shouldn't, that itself is a Torah prohibition. You mustn't change your plans. So what do I do? Who do I pass? Like, yes. Right, for Jewish people, you'll see that explicitly. Jewish people are not individually subject to mazel in the same way the non-Jews are. We'll see coming up a source that says that explicitly. No, it's not about the nation as a whole. It's about you as an individual. We'll see that coming up right now in a couple of minutes. Also, you see a case, number 10, Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas. Tosfos refers us to this case. Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas, let's just see this in English, in Tanis. Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas was hard-pressed for money. Once an act of bloodletting was performed on him, but he didn't have anything to taste afterwards. Chazal said, you're meant to, if you give blood or they take your blood, you're meant to eat something. He had nothing to eat. So Nebuch, he took a clove of garlic and he stuck it in his mouth. His heart became weak and he fell asleep. The sages came to inquire about his welfare. They saw him weeping and laughing, and a ray of light was shining from his forehead. Okay. When he awoke, they said to him, what's the reason you were laughing and crying? He said to them, the reason is that in my dream, the Holy One, blessed be He, was sitting with me. And I said to him, until when will I suffer such poverty in this world? I really have to be so poor? And he said to me, Elazar, my son, is it more convenient for you that I return the world to its very beginning? Meaning, what do you want me to do? I'm going to have to reset the whole of Breishit and play it again from the beginning? And perhaps you will be born in an hour of sustenance and not be poor? Like, and you can't even guarantee it? You're going to reset the whole world, play the whole thing again, and maybe it'll be better? So I said before him, you suggest doing all this to return the world to its meaning, and even then it's only a possibility that things will be different, not a certainty? I said to him, so he turns to God and says, are the years that I've already lived more numerous, or are that I will live more numerous? Meaning, am I more than halfway through my life? Tell me. So God says to him, he said to me, those years that you have lived are greater. I said, okay, I managed this far. I manage for the rest of my life. I said before him, if so, I do not want you to recreate the world for the sake of a brief few years. I manage, I'll be poor. But you see from this, even Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas, he's going to reset the whole universe. God's going to do it all. Who knows? You may still be born under a bad mazel. Very difficult. However, we do know there seems to be exceptions. Look at number 11. Mishenich nas'av mamatin v'simcha. Okay, coming up in Yana de Yomen of Av v'Adar. So Amar Rav Yehuda Breider Shmuel Bashilat Mishmei Derav Kesheim Sheminichnas Av Mamatim Besimcha Kach Mishinichnas Adar Marbim Besimcha. So why? Amar Rav Papa Hilkach by Israel the Islay Dina. If you have a court case with a non-Jew, Bahadi Nachri together with a non-Jew or against a non-Jew, Lishtamit Binei Ba'Av. You should put it off in Av. Why? Dari Mazli, because you have bad mazel. There is a worse mazel in Av. And you should try and do it in Adar. Debari mazli, because your mazel is good. The Jewish people have better mazel in Av than Adar. So from what we've said, the other way around, in Adar than Av. From what we've said, this makes sense. Oh, what does that mean? Yesh mazel Yisrael? No. Ein mazel Yisrael. But it's very hard to change it. Even if we say Ein, Adar is still a mazel which is good. And Av is still a mazel which is bad. Yes, if you're a big tzaddik, you can have a court case in Av. And daven and give tzedakah, and maybe it'll work out. You're going to risk it? Who knows? Who knows if you're a big enough tzaddik to even have an adar play within the system of mazel, which is the system that we live in? Yes.
All these are showing that there is such
a
thing as
yes. All these are showing clearly that there is such a thing as mazel. No question. No question. Let's look at Shmuel now. Look at three sources of Shmuel, and then we'll get to the Rambam. Shmuel the doctor. Shmuel was an Amora that lived in the first generation of the Gemara. And he says as follows, number 12. Mahu lo b'shamayim hi. What does he mean when God says that the Torah is not in heaven? So Shmuel Amar, Ein HaTorah Metsuya Ba'Astrologin. You won't find Torah with astrologers. She'umnasam b'shamayim, that they look in the heavens all the time. So Amru l'Shmuel, they people said to Shmuel, one second, Hariat Astrologin. You're an astrologer. A gavul b'Torah, and you've made it to be a big time at Chacham. So he said, no, I have a secret. So Amalehen, he said, Loi ha'iti mabid ba'astrologim ela b'shah sha'iti ponim in ha'Torah. I only learn astrology when I'm not learning Torah. Emasai, when is that? K'sha'iti nichlas le'beis ha'mayim. When I go for a bath. When I go to the bathroom, when I use the toilet, when I go for a bath, when I lay in the bath, what do? When I'm in the bath, I think about astrology. I work out the stars, but I'm not mevatel Torah, chas v'shalom. So here you see a source for things to do in the bathroom. Having good books in the bathroom is a source in the Gemara, and if you want to know what to have, astronomy, astrology maybe, these are things to have in the bathroom. By the way, okay, the Gaon learned maths in the bathhouse, so that's when he learned his maths. Okay, look at number 13, interesting source. Amar Shmuel, Shmuel said, Nihirin li shvili de shamaya, I know the pathways of the heavens, k'shvili Naharda, as well as I know the pathways of Naharda, my local town. Except one thing, he said, Labarmi kochava de shavid, I don't understand comets. Okay? The lawyer Dana Meinin, who I don't know where they come from. Which is interesting, because comets kind of don't play by the normal systems, because they come in and they have a different kind of orbit. But what's interesting is, why do I need to know that he knew? Okay, he was an astrologer. He knew the paths of heavens like he knows the paths back home of Narada. Why do I need to know that he knew his paths back home? So Rav Shlomo Zalman said, because he was a doctor. He was Hatzalah. You're learning from this detail that if you're a doctor and you're on call, you've got to know the quickest way to get to people for an emergency. And he says, and that's what I do. But I still know the Shemaim as well as I know the A to Z. I don't know if they call it A to Z, probably. Do you have that in America? Like back in the old days when they had maps? Okay, fine. Good. Finally, for Shmuel, let us just look at number 14. Again, let's look at this in English. And this answers the lady's question over there. Is this individual or not? From Shmuel 2, we learned that Israel is immune from planetary influence. And now we have Rabbi Yochanan, and Shmuel, Ein Mazal b'Yisrael. For Shmuel and Ablat were sitting while certain people were going to a lake. Said Ablat to Shmuel, that man is going, but he will not return. For a snake will bite him and he will die. If he is an Israelite, replied Shmuel, then he will go and return. Meaning, if he's a non-Jew, yesh mazal. So you're right, that's his mazal. If he's a Jew, you never know. I trust he will return. While they were sitting, he went and returned. Thereupon Ablat arose and threw off the man's knapsack, and he found a snake therein cut up and lying in two pieces. Said Shmuel to him, what did you do? And he said, every day we pull our bread and ate it. We're workers, they're schleppers, they sit and pull their bread and they divide it up. But today one of us had no bread, and he was ashamed. Said I to them, I will go and collect the bread. And when I came to him, I pretended to take bread from him so that he shouldn't be ashamed. He did a big chesed. He volunteered to be the one collecting the food, because he realized that Nebuchadnezzar had forgotten his food, and he pretended to take food from the guy so he wouldn't be embarrassed. Oh, you've done a good deed, said Shmuel to him, and Shmuel went out and lectured, but charity delivers from death, and it doesn't just mean from an unnatural death, but from death itself. Tzedakah saved your life. It got you out of your mazel. So too, a more famous story here, Rabbi Kiva too, we learned that Israel is free from planetary influence. And by the way, even if you say, well, it's a machlokas, yesh, ein, Rabbi Hanina, Rabbi Akiva is the big guns. Once you roll in Rabbi Hanina, Rabbi Akiva, what are you going to argue? For Rabbi Akiva had a daughter. This is very famous. Now, astrologers told him on the day she enters the bridal chamber, a snake will bite her and she will die. And he was very worried about it. He took it seriously. He didn't say, ah, shtuyot, we don't listen to that. He was very worried. On the day of the marriage, she took a brooch. So on the night after the marriage, she stuck it in the wall. She was taking it out of her hair. It was dark, stuck it in the wall. And by chance, it penetrated into the eye of a serpent. The following morning when she took out the brooch, the snake came trailing out after it. What did you do? Her father asked. She said, a poor man came to our door in the evening, as she replied, and everybody was busy at the banquet and there was no one to attend to him. So I took the portion that was given to me and gave it to him. She, the Kala, at her own wedding, was worried there was someone coming to collect. People come to collect at weddings. You see, it's a very old thing. And no one was paying attention. They were all dancing and going crazy. She runs outside and gives him some food. Wow. You've done a good deed, he says to her. Thereupon Rabbi Kiva went out and lectured. Staka tatzel mimaves. Staka will save you from death. And not merely from an unnatural death, but from death itself. Okay. Ein mazel b'Yisrael means Stocker can do the trick. And one thing is for sure, even according to Rabbi Chanina, and with this we'll finish with Chazal, and go to the Rambam, even if you say Yesh mazel b'Yisrael, what you always have is free choice. The astrologers say you have no free choice. You will end up doing what the mazel says you will do. So we don't believe that. No one believes that. Number 15, Oysa malach hamamona al harayim. That malach, what again, malach means system in place that God puts into the hierarchy of running the world. This malach hamamona al harayim, who is appointed for pregnancy, Laila Shemo, Laila is his name. Okay, what does he do? No tel tipu mamida lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He takes the little embryo, the little drop, when it's conceived, and takes it to Hashem, as it were. Va'oim elefam, it says, Ribono shel olam, tipo zo, this little drop, ma tehei aleha, what's going to be? Now, today, we think not so much in terms of mazel, but genes, DNA. What is the DNA is set. It can't change its DNA. Okay, maybe we can do gene therapy and things like that now, but the DNA in this tiny little minuscule microscopic drop will determine the life, many of the features of this person's life. So gibor or chalash, will the person be weak or strong? Strong or weak? Chacham, will they have a high IQ? Or tipesh, will they be a low IQ? Ashir, will they become rich? Or ani, or poor? And that can depend on your genes as well, by the way. If you're the kind of person who, you know, is business-minded, knows how to take risks, is prepared to go and speculate, to accumulate. Ve'ilu, however, rosha or tzaddik, loikam. He never asks, is this going to be a rosha or a tzaddik? Because Rabbi Chanina said, and again, Rabbi Chanina is the guy that says, Yesh mazel b'Yisrael, but even Rabbi Chanina says, Hakol bidei shamayim, chutz mira shamayim. Everything is controlled by heaven other than your choices, even if you say Yesh mazel b'Yisrael. But remember, we don't paskin like Rabbi Chanina. So when you say, Hakol bidei shamayim, chutz mira shamayim, that's a view that we don't follow. We say, yes, your choices, of course, are yours, but you can even change your mazel, perhaps. So let's now look at the Rambam. Let's go to the Rambam. Let's start with a well-known source, which is the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah. And now, as you'll be aware, the Rambam wrote three major works in his life. He wrote the commentary on the Mishnah when he was young, in his 20s, when he was living in Morocco. He wrote the Mishnah Torah, his halachic magnum opus, when he was in Middle Ages, in maybe 40, something like that, when he was living in Cairo. And finally, he wrote his Guide to the Perplexed, or Guide for the Perplexed, really, when he was living in Cairo, when he was an older person. He died at the age of around about 69. The Mishnah Torah, which was oldish for those days, the Mishnah Torah says in number 16, and we'll see soon some of the smaller works that the Rambam wrote, but we'll stick with the Mishnah Torah. Eze ma'oinem, what is superstitious time predictors? Eilu noisnei itzi, people who give times. Again, this is halacha. Sha'oimrim, b'tzignines, they look in astrology. And they say, yom plani toiv, today is good. Yom plani ra, today is bad. Yom plani ra'ui lasot b'malacha planit. This is a good day to do this work. Agushana plani is this year, or chodesh plani, or this month. Ra is bad, l'dibre plani, for this thing. But he says the Rambam, astrology is the thing that the Torah prohibits. That's what this mitzvah is. Clearly, astrology is osa, min haTorah. And then he says, intact, asur la'anen, you're not allowed to go to astrologers. Afal pi shelo asa maaseh, even if you didn't even do anything, ela hoidia osan haksavim haksilim, these liars and fools just told you, umadamim, and you think in your mind, shehem divrei emes, that is true, v'divrei chachamim, and that is wise. That itself is the avera. Not even to change your plans, but just to think that astrology is real. V'kala oisim ipnei asignines, and if you actually do something because of astrology, v'kivei melachtoa, and you plan your work, or halichata, or your journeys or travels, on the time that the people told you, these astrologers told you it was good, if you actually, or bad, if you actually do something, you get Malchus. Again, you never get Malchus, or hardly ever, without an action. Malchus is the 39 lashes. So if you think that astrology is right, you did the Torah prohibition, but you don't get Malchus. But if then you organize your life around astrology, you get Malchus. And then he goes into another thing, which is people who are magicians. They trick you. They look as though they're doing something amazing. They, you know, cut the woman in half and move, and then the woman appears, you know, behind the curtain or whatever. You know it's not real. Nevertheless, how is that bichlal ma'ayin v'loki? That's also an Issur Torah, which is interesting. And you have this whole genre of Jewish magicians that tell you how they do the trick, when they do the trick because they don't want to be, you know, in breach of this ramp. Meaning, I'm not doing anything really strange here, even though I don't know what the point is of being a magician if you tell everybody how you do it. But okay, you could always get another job. But the Rambam says that is part of it. Now, and here's when he gives his halachic stroke hashkafic angle. Udvarim ha'elu, all of these things, kulam, all of them, divrei sheker, they're all lies, because of, and the misleading, because of hein, the hein shehitu bein oivdei kochavim hakadumin. And this is the kind of thing that the early idolaters, and this is not idolatry, but there's an overlap. The early idolaters use these things, legoi haratzois, for the people of those lands, kedeshi in hagu achrein, that they would follow them. The ain royally Israel, and it's just not fitting for a Jew. Sheheim chachamim mechukamim. The Jews are meant to be the cleverest people in the world. This was before the Nobel Prize was invented. But just look at how many Nobel Prizes have been won by Jews compared to how many, you know, what the proportion of Jews is in the world. It's off the charts. Says the Rambam, I'm not surprised about that. The Jews are meant to be the most brilliant people in the world. To be drawn off to this nonsense? They can't be drawn. They can't even think. Meaning the worst the very you can do is to be a fool. If you're Jewish and you're a fool, you can't do it. If you believe in these things, and you even think in your mind that they're true and wise, meaning the Torah doesn't want me to get involved in the dark side. If you think that, that you are a fool, and you're mentally
challenged
is the modern word to say. Yes. More politically correct word. Aval bale achochma, but people who are wise, utamimi hadas, and people have clear heads, yedu, they know, barayas brewers very clearly, shekol elo dvarim sha'asru Torah, einam divrei chochma, elo tohu v'hevel. He couldn't be clearer if he wanted to be. It's all nonsense. And by the way, the Rambam was in a small group in the Rishonim that thought that astrology was nonsense. Meaning, Rav Sadia Gaon agreed, and Rav Beinu Bachya agreed that astrology was nonsense, but here's a group of Rishonim that said astrology is real. Rav Shirigon, Rav Haigon, Rav Yehuda Levi the Kuzari, the Ibn Ezra, the Sefer Chinuch, the Ramban, the Rashba, the Meiri, Rav Yosef Alba, and Rav Chisdai Kreskes. And many of them, by the way, are rationalists. They're not all mystics. Okay, Rav Yehuda Levi, he's a mystic. But Rav Chisdai Kreskes, he's a rationalist. The Ibn Ezra, okay, somewhere in between. But they believed that astrology was a very real thing. So the Rambam was going out alone on this to a significant degree. So what I want to look at with you now for the next 10 minutes is a source that doesn't often get looked at. The Rambam wrote a bunch of letters in his life as well. Not just his major works, but a number of igrots, of letters, and ma'amarim, and essays to different people. Famously, when he was young, he wrote the Igeret HaShma, where the Jews of Morocco said to him, we've been told by an Ashkenazi poseg that we have to die rather than convert to Islam. And he replied, he was very incensed and very upset, and says, absolutely not, don't listen to this poseg. Christianity, yes, you'd have to die rather than convert to Christianity. But Islam, in Gansa, what do they want you to do? They want you to say Muhammad is, that Allah is God. Well, I've got news for you, Allah is God. That's just another way for the word that they have for Hashem. And Muhammad is a prophet? Okay, that's shtuyot. You have to die rather than say shtuyot. This table is a prophet. They're going to kill you if you don't say the table is a prophet. Say the table is a prophet. So what do they need you to do? Nothing that's going to be it's not ideal, but you don't have to die. And he writes the Holy Ghost of Shema. There is, as you should know, in the academic world, a very intense and quite vociferous debate as to whether the Rambam and his father were also required to convert to Islam during their time in Morocco. And there are some that say Chas V'Shalom, or whatever the academics say instead of Chas V'Shalom. And there are some that say, no, it sounds that way. And Igeret HaShmad was part of that conversation. But if you're interested in that discussion, you won't find it in Jewish history books. but you will find it in the academic history books as to whether that is a real thing or not a real thing. But later on in life, he wrote other letters. He wrote a famous letter to Ovadia the Ger, where Ovadia the Ger converted to Judaism from Islam, and he says, everybody mocks me and nobody takes me seriously, and people say, you're not really Jewish. And the Rambam's very incensed, and he says, no, you're more Jewish than the Jewish. You know, you're the only one who really said knows that they're Jewish, because you converted, everybody else just has a chazaka that they're Jewish. So he wrote a bunch of letters, and later in his life, he wrote a letter to the Chachamim of Marseille. Now, the Rambam never went to Provence, as far as I'm aware. He lived in Spain, he went to North Africa. But Provence was his home turf in terms of his supporters. At this period, during his life, the people who were most behind him were the Kimchi family in Provence, the Ibn Tibbons in Provence. These were the people who were his real supporters. The Ibn Tibbons translated his work. They were great translators. So he wrote to them because they asked about astrology. So let's have a look at what they wrote, what he wrote to them, because he really reveals his positions on a bunch of things. I'm going to read this quite quickly. It's in English, but it will give us a really good insight into the Rambam on this issue. Know, my masters, he says, that it's not proper. Well, first of all, I didn't put a bit in the beginning. He says, you obviously didn't get my Mishnah Torah yet. Because if you'd have got my Mishnah Torah, you wouldn't be asking me, what do I think about astrology? And the Rambam, by the way, was very careful when he did his book launch for the Mishnah Torah. He sent out very specific ships to very specific places. He took a bunch of books on this ship, a bunch of books on this ship. Meaning getting your book around was, you know, it's not just difficult today. It was difficult then as well. He said, obviously, the ship didn't come in yet. I'll tell you now, in case you didn't see that Mishnah Torah. Know, my masters, that it's not proper for a man to accept as trustworthy anything other than from one of these three things. This is good. This is good for today's youth. Who do you trust? He says, the first is a thing for which there's clear proof deriving from a man's reasoning, such as arithmetic, geometry, astronomy, meaning stuff that is logic. Logic, you can trust logic. Two is bigger than one. And if someone says, well, how do you know? To me, one is bigger than two. Just like, go away. That's not logical. You can trust logic. The second is a thing that a man perceives through one of his five senses, such as he knows with certainty this is red and this is black. The like is through the side of the eye. Or when he tastes that this is bitter and this is sweet. Or when he feels that this is hot and this is cold. Or when he hears that the sound is clear and the sound is indistinct. Or when he smells that something is pleasing and something is displeasing. The five senses. And by the way, that's important because the Rambam wasn't a skeptic in the sort of an extreme skeptic in the way that kind of Descartes later would say, well, I don't know anything that I see, whether it's really real. I can't prove that any of you exist. Maybe you're all just figments of my imagination. Maybe I'm a brain in a box being manipulated by a mad scientist. I know that I exist because I think I exist. Ah, but you only think you exist? Yeah, but that just means I'm still thinking. So there's an I that thinks. So Descartes was an extreme skeptic. The Rambam says, no. This feels hard, it's hard. This table looks real, it's real. You're real, I'm real. We don't have to worry about that. Yes?
He lived in a more scientific world than the Ashkenazi.
That's for sure.
Yes.
And the comparative works between the Ashkenazi and Sepharim is a very big issue at this point. Yes, for sure. But he's saying you can trust your senses. And then, and this is very important, the third is a thing that a man receives from the prophets and from the righteous. Meaning, there are people in this world you just have to trust. And you have to choose which people to trust. But you're never going to know everything for yourself. Meaning, I don't know if Tasmania exists. I've never been. I'm not sure I'll ever go. But I'm told by Australians that Tasmania exists. It's on the map, but maybe the maps are forged. Maybe there's an Australian conspiracy. I don't know for sure, but I can trust these people. It makes sense. I trust certain Masoras, whether they're from Jewish or from non-Jewish sources. Certain things make sense. Every reasonable man ought to distinguish in his mind and thought all the things he accepts as trustworthy and say, this I accept as trustworthy because of tradition, and this because of sense, and this on grounds of reason. Okay, good. And then he says, but anyone who accepts as trustworthy anything that is not one of these three species, of him it is said, the simple believes everything. That's a pasuk in Mishlei, which basically is, there's one born every minute. Okay? Thus you ought to know that fools have composed thousands of books of nothingness and emptiness. Don't tell that to Amazon. Okay? Any number of men great in years but not in wisdom wasted all their days in studying these books and imagined that these follies are science. They came to think of themselves as wise men because they knew the science. And the thing about which most of the world, as of or all of it, except for a few individuals, is that thing of which I'm apprising you. The great sickness and the grievous evil consist in this, that all things that man finds written in books, he presumes to think of as true. All the more so if the books are old. And since many individuals have busied themselves with those books and engaged in discussions concerning them, the rash fellow's mind at once leaps to the conclusion that these are words of wisdom. Don't believe it because it's written in a book. People still do this. Yeah.
I remember you talked about the Rambam, that people believe it's Kibaracha because, you know, it was labeled Kibaracha.
Right. I don't know if I talked about that. I did give a shear in Kibaracha.
It was a different shear.
But also, there's you know, people say, oh, where's that written? Why does that matter? Why does that matter? You know, Rabbi Vadi Yosef was approached by a woman who said, is toothpaste kosher Pesach? So he said, yes. She goes, yeah, but it doesn't say kosher Pesach. So he's gave me a pen. He went, wrote kosher Pesach. Says, look, it's in writing. Meaning, the fact that it's written down makes a difference. Oh, yeah, it's in a book. No, there's books and books of nonsense. That's the first thing he says. Now, next, in number 18, I'm going to do this quite quickly. It says, know my masters that every one of those things considering judicial astrology, namely that something will happen one way and not another, that the constellation in which you're born will draw him on so that he will be such and such of a kind, and something will happen to him one way or another. All those assertions are far from being scientific. They are stupidity. Okay, yeah, but you've got a lot of serious Gemaras to deal with. What about Rabbi Shua ben Levi? There are lucid, faultless proofs refuting all the roots of these assertions. Never did one of the genuinely wise men of the nations busy himself with this matter or write on it. No nation wrote such compositions or committed the error of calling it science other than the Chaldeans, the Chaldeans, the Canaanites, and the Egyptians. They are the people you don't want to be like. For that was their religion in those days. But the wise men of Greece, and later he talks about Persia, India, they basically said it's all shtuyot. And therefore, science has shown us that astrology is not a real science. Astronomy is a real science, but not astrology. Then go over the page, because there's two other things I want to show you which are going to take us deeper in this. Then he talks about creation. Now this is a very interesting topic. The Rambam writes in the Mor Nevuchim at length that there are three theories about creation. How did we get here? One theory, he says, is Aristotle, which is everything's always been here. The world is eternal. The sphere keeps going around and around, and it was never created. God exists eternally, and the matter of the world exists eternally. And God did the best he could with what matter there was. But at the end of the day, what there was is always what there will be, and always what there has been. That's one view, Aristotle. So there's no real freedom of choice in that sense, or even God doesn't have full freedom of choice. Then there was Plato, who said, no, God used a kind of proto-matter called the Huli, which he manipulated into the world. He kind of made it into the world. It would never have happened without God. It's not the same as Aristotle. And then there's the view of Bereishis Bara Elokim, Ezer Shemanga Esaretz. And there's a lot of esoteric readings of the Rambam, which did he really hold by? Of course, he writes in his book, I believe in Bereishis Bara Elokim. God created everything ex nihilo, from nothing. But there again, the Rambam does write in the beginning of Mor Nevuchim, I am going to say things in this book that I don't really believe, to throw the unsuspecting reader off the track and to make sure I'm only really getting through to the people who really need to understand, the ones who are the deepest thinkers, whatever. So look at what he says. All these then are the three saints. Is it warm in here?
Yes.
No? Yes? Yes. Some people are sitting with coats on and some people are falling asleep. I'm being down chaschus. It's the heat that's making you fall asleep on the shear, maybe. But okay, maybe I'm being down chaschus myself. Okay, fine. Hey, let's see. I can open a window.
Let's do that. If I get a draft, I'll get the draft first.
Okay. All these then are the three sects into which the wise men of the world fall, from the earliest antiquity down to now. There are those that maintain the sphere is not a created thing, but it's been eternally and was just as it is. That's Aristotle. There are those that maintain the deity created it out of matter which always existed by him. That's Plato. And there are those that maintain, just as the prophets did, there is no other thing that is with the deity, just himself, and that when he wished, he brought forth this world out of nothing in conformity with his will. Right. They disagree on that. But they all agree on this. All of these three sects are in accord on the following point. Everything that comes into being in the lower world, every living soul, every tree, every species of grass, and every one of the species of minerals, the whole has the deity as its maker through power coming through the spheres and stars. And they are in accord with the power of the Creator, flows first on the spheres, and from the spheres it flows down and spreads to the lower world, everything that is, thereby coming into being. And just as we maintain that the Holy One, blessed be He, performs signs and wonders through angels, so these philosophers maintain that all occurrences in the nature of the world comes through the spheres and the stars. Meaning, I'm not arguing that the stars have an influence. Everybody agrees on that. My question is whether astrology as a science is accurate or not, and I hold that it's completely not. And in the final one, he brings you, in number 20, it's not quite the final one, he then talks about hashkacha. He says the philosophers think that everything is by chance. It's just random. No one's really running anything specific in the world. The astrologist thinks that everything is fixed. You have no free choice. Meaning the philosopher says that your free choice doesn't make any difference. The astrologers say that you have no free choice. And he says, and we believe that you have free will. And therefore it's not just because astrology is nonsense, because it's proved to be not a real science, but it goes against the fundamental Jewish idea of free will. The astrologers say you don't have free will because it's all determined. The philosopher says you don't have free will because it's all random. But we say, no, you have free will. And how the free will works with the Hashgacha, that's what we need to talk about. And I haven't got time to do that today because I want to finish this module. But next time, in 2 weeks, we will talk about that. Because the Rambam seems to say, in number 3, you can read this on your own, that at the end of the day, everything that happens to a person is because God wants that to happen to that person. Hashgacha. You make choices, there are certain consequences. Now, does that mean that every individual has Hashgacha process? We'll see, that's not what he means. And actually, the Rambam holds that everyone, I'll give you a teaser for 2 weeks from now, that everybody's life is determined by three types of Hashgacha. There's Hashgacha Klalis, that God's running the world as a whole, and the species as a whole, and what happens to you is part of that bigger picture, number one. There's Hashgacha Pratis, oh, is it cold now? A little bit. Okay, there's Hashgacha Pratis, which is, you can have the world run around your needs if you're a big enough tzaddik. And we'll see, like, that's different for everybody. But then there's the third one that nobody thinks of. There's Hashgacha process that affects you and me, but it's not my Hashgacha process, it's his Hashgacha process, or her Hashgacha process. Meaning there are big tzaddikim in the world, that the world is indeed running around them. And we are kind of schlepped into their vortex. So we had to miss the bus, because they had to catch the bus. But we didn't miss the bus because of Hashgacha process for us. We missed the bus because of Hashgacha process for her. And people don't think about that, and we'll see when we get there in 2 weeks' time. But for now, let's finish with a controversial, not finish the shiur, because we've got a little to go. Let's finish the Rambam with a controversial comment. Because what is he going to do with all the Gemaras? I'm sorry, you can't just write off pages and pages of Shas. You're born this day of the week, this hour of the day, mazel, machkim, mazel. What's going on? Number 21. So this is how he deals with this, and this got him into some trouble. But again, he's sending to his followers here. He's sending to his supporters. Other things he wrote, by the way, to Baghdad, to the people who were against him, he was much more circumspect in how he said things. Yeah, that, for example, they accused him of not really believing in Tzchias HaMeisim. We talked about this a few months ago. They said, we think, Maimonides, that when you say Tzchias HaMeisim, you really mean life after death, that the soul lives on. And that's not what it's meant to mean. It's meant to mean that the dead come back to life. And he wrote a whole essay to Baghdad saying, no, I'm very frum, I believe it, and no one else would ever believe anything else, and da, 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 da. He wrote in a different way. Here, he says something quite different. Number 21, not about Tzchias HaMeisim, but about astrology. The summary of the matter is that our mind cannot grasp how the decrees of the Holy One, blessed be He, work on human beings in this world and in the world to come. So at the end of the day, he says, don't try and work it all out. Which makes perfect sense.
Last week we had a course from a rabbi here at Israel who was explaining about the...
Okay, let's leave aside what the Rambam will say about that. He says nobody understands ultimately the complexity of the system. They don't even know what the weather's going to be like tomorrow. You're trying to work out why your life is like this and like that. Think about it, all the billions of people on the planet, you don't know how it intersects with them. Olam Haba, all your people before you, all the people after you. He says you're not going to work it out. But what we have said about this from the beginning is that the entire position of the stargazers is regarded as falsehood by all men of science. Now, I know that you may search and find sayings of some individual sages in the Talmud and Midrashim, whose words appear to maintain that at the moment of a man's birth, the stars will cause such and such to happen to him. Do not regard that as a difficulty. Why? For it's not fitting for a man to abandon the prevailing law and raise once again the counter-arguments and replies that preceded its enactment. And what's that he said? The translation is a bit clunky. He says, because we don't paskin like those opinions. Don't find me in opinions in the world. I can find you hundreds of opinions that we don't paskin like. Okay, we don't paskin like that. Okay, that might deal with some things. Rabbi Hanina, Yesh Mazel B'Yisrael, okay, we don't paskin like that. But what about the other opinions? What about Rabbi Akiva? Why is he worried about his daughter? So says the Rambam. Similarly, it's not proper to abandon matters of reason that have been verified by proofs, shake loose of them, and depend on the words of a single one of the sages, that's Chazal, from whom possibly the matter was hidden. That's interesting that Chazal said this because they didn't know the truth. Or there may be an allusion in those words, or maybe you're not reading it right, maybe it's more subtle, or they may have said it with a view to the times and the business beforehand. Sometimes people say things publicly for what they think the people need to hear, but that's not what they actually believe. So he manages to work around all of those astrological statements of Chazal by saying either we don't paskin like them, or maybe they got it wrong, or maybe they didn't mean what you said, read them more deeply, or maybe they just said it for the people at the time. But they weren't really saying it to an intelligent person like you. You surely know how many of the verses of the holy law are not meant to be taken literally. Even the Chumash, you can't take every pasuk literally. Well, God has a hand, God has an arm, eyes, ears. No. Since it's known through proofs of reason that it's impossible for the thing to be literally so, the translator of the Targum rendered in a form the reason will abide. Therefore, Unclus, he likes Unclus. Unclus, every time God appears, Unclus shifts the translation. So no, it's not God that appeared, because you can't see God. It's God's kavod that appeared. It's not actually God. Unclus always takes away from the anthropomorphization, that's a word, of the Chumash. And therefore, all the more so, Chazal, you can't read everything literally. Take it more on a deeper level. A man should never cast his reason behind him, for the eyes are set in the front and not in the back. Astrology is nonsense, he says, and it's proved to be nonsense. And if Chazal say it's real, we have to find a way of reading around that. We have to, because they can't be saying it's real. Either it's an individual opinion, or they didn't really mean it, or they said it for people who were simple at the time. But they can't possibly have said, because we can prove that it is in fact not real. Now, let's go on to the other position, and we'll end on a bit of a sharp note. The Ramban. So the Ramban was a mystic. Okay, the Ramban lived in Spain, in northern Spain, and then in Eretz Israel. And his tshuva is quoted here, number 23. Tshuva Haramban is quoted here by the Beis Yosef. Simon Reish Pei Gimel. Kosef, he writes as follows. Number 23. First of all, I want to tell you, astrology is not what the Torah prohibits. That is not considered to be superstition. Other things, but not astrology. What about Rabbi Chanina, who says, Mazal Ma'ashir, Yesh Mazal Yisrael? What, he just didn't realize? The Afagav 23, source 23. The okay, we don't paskin like Rabbi Chanina. Good. But you're going to tell me that he was a superstitious, you know, someone breaking the Torah? Can't be. And what about all these Gemaras at the end of Shabbos? Nami mashma de mutalishma alahem. You can listen to astrology. Ulamin Ibrahim, you can believe it. Mi Avram, what about Avram? The Aman istakata betzekninus. I've looked in my astrology. He believed it. Rabbi Akiva, the Hudaig Amilsa de Barasitova. He was really worried about his daughter. If you're right, Rambam, why was he worried? He should have just said, fah, and got on his way. He was worried. Ula Achashe Nitzla, after she was saved, Darash, he made a drasha, the Mishum Staka Nitzla. It was the Staka that saved her. Mimisa. Mimisa Mamash. Shmamina, Maminu Bahemi. You can see he really believes in it. Ella, he says, this is what I think you should think about astrology. God could do a nes for you. He could cancel out your mazli. Therefore, you shouldn't really ever ask them. You should go in simplicity with God. But if you see something in your star sign, again, a real star sign, that you don't like, so this is what you should do. Do mitzvahs. Marbe b'tzvila davan. Aval im rabbi tzdagnidus yom she'ein tov lemalachto. But if you really see something that's bad mazel, nishmo memenu, you should avoid it. Ein somech al hanes. You can't rely on a miracle. Daven, but don't rely on your davening. You may not be Avram Avinu. Ukasavar ani she'asal avon neged hamazalot. I think you mustn't go against the mazel. Ulismoch al hanes, and rely on a nes. The Harambam, of course, the Rambam, because of Shedivrei Hevel v'Shtus. Hey, he writes that it's all nonsense. The Hamamin sheyesh behem mamash. If you think there's anything in it, bichlal nashim. You're included in women and Ami Haaretz. I'm not making any comment here, but for people of the time, women represented people who were uneducated, which is a truth. They were uneducated, and Ami Haaretz u'shmeise kula leisa hachi. And the whole thing is nonsense. But he says, actually, I misspoke there. It means, but I don't think the Gemara sounds like him. I don't think the Gemara sounds like him. And the Ran says this more clearly. The Ran, who lived in Spain a couple of hundred years after the Rambam, but it was part of his school, if you like. Look at number 24. Says the Ran as follows. V'hini l'dasa Rambam ein ze shai l'klav. Of course, there's no question about astrology for the Rambam. Ki hu nimshach l'dasa chachamim hativiyim. He goes after scientific thinking. She'sovrim she'ein b'kochavim kochav tov or ra klal. There's nothing good or bad in the stars. U'she'einum bali echut klal. They're not actually material. The Rambam, of course, thought the stars were spiritual beings, not material beings. V'kol meshech shavu ha'amorayim. Amorayim. All the rabbis in the Gemara who thought that they were, but dvarim ha'heim, but dvar batal. It's not, we don't pass it like that. U'she'loi nachsa ma'uma. We don't get involved in that. And whatever the astrologers say, it's not really true. Aval who, really, this astrologer, he's kind of making it up. That's what he thinks. It's all imagination. It's not really science. People do sand predictions, or bazul, that's all things like that. The yesh b'dvar of Sofik, but I'm not sure. Shemin hanira she'en kei Rabba Seinu, because I just don't think the Rambam's backed up by the Gemara. Shahari his kiru b'perik mishehichshon. Also he quotes masim rabim. There are so many times when it says she'ha'oila mehem hab shamazel poel b'adam. The mazel works on a person imloy shishanu sivas on mitzvahs, unless you can change through mitzvahs. Okay, two views. How do we paskin? Drum roll, Shulchan Aruch, number 25. Ain shoylin b'chayzim. Don't go to astrologers. That's clear. B'kachavim, b'chachavim, v'loy b'gerolos. You're not allowed to be superstitious. Everyone agrees you can't go and consult an astrologer. It says the Ramon, mishum shenema, tamim ti Hashem alokecha, im Hashem alokecha. The also is all because mim, you can't ask magicians, u'menachshim, and superstitious, occult things, u'makafshim, or witches. Stay clear of witches. Okay. Says the Ramon, b'masha adam yodea, but if you know Shehem keneged amazel, that something they said is against your mazel, lo yasa. Here's the answer. Don't go to Baivagan on Thursday. Even though the Rambam says you have to, because if you change your plans, you're doing a Torah prohibition. He says, no, we pass him like the Rambam. Lo yismach al anes, don't rely on a miracle. El she'en lakor achazeh, you just shouldn't go asking, mishum tamim tiyya, etc. What about faith healing, weird cures, healing hands, all that stuff? Says the Shulchan Aruch, Vav, mi shenashku akrav, someone who's bitten by hay, scorpion, mutar lelchosh alav, you can do incantations over it. Afilu b'Shabbos. Even on Shabbos? What's wrong with Shabbos? You're not meant to heal on Shabbos. Va'af al pi she'ein adav moil klum. Even though it's complete and utter nonsense. Hoil umasukanu, since the guy is in danger and he's worried, hitiru, they allowed all these things, kileshilo titrav daisolav, because so he'll feel better. It's placebo. But you can do it all. Even though he says, even though the whole thing is complete and utter nonsense. Now finish with the Gra. Let's look at the Gra number 26. Afalpi, even though it's nonsense, he says, a Rambam, because he's following the Rambam. It's nonsense. Because of the Perik and Perisha Mishnah, this is what the Rambam says in the Perisha Mishnah, in the fourth Perik of Avodas Kochavim. Aval, Kol habayim machrav. Everyone who came after the Rambam, chalku alav, disagreed with him. And that's pretty much true. Shehari harbe lachashim ma'atzra ha-gemara. Many of these incantations are in the Gemara. For who, but the Rambam, nimshach achar philosophia. He was drawn after philosophy. Olechein, that's why he writes, sekshafim, the witchcraft, v'shemus, and holy names, ukshaf, v'lachashim, and incantations, v'shedim, and demons, ukamayas, and amulets, hakol hu sheker. That's why he writes that it's all wrong. That's why he writes it sheker. Aval kfar haku oso al kat kado. But he's already been smacked on the head, says the Grom. Shehari matzinu harbi masyus b'gemara al pi shemus ukshaf. And we see many times Chazal took that very literally. V'ha philosophia hitaso. Philosophy has lured him away. This is the Rambam. B'roiv lekha, because it's so enticing. L'faresha gemara hakol b'derech leitzai. And that's why he describes these gemaras as non-literal. Ula akor osami pashtam. And he takes them out of the pashtas. V'chas v'sholem, God forbid, eini manim bahem. I don't believe in these philosophers. V'lo atmeim, I don't want anything to do with them. V'lo mehamonim, from my people. Ala kol dvarim hem kapashdam. You have to take these gemaras literally. Ala kishyesh ben pnimius. Of course they have an inner meaning. V'lo pnimius, pnimius shel balia philosophia. They don't have an inner philosophical meaning. Shehem chitzoniyot, which is really an outer meaning. Ela shel balia hafemis. They have Kabbalistic meanings. But they're not philosophy. So the Gros says very, very sharp language. The Rambam was enticed off the derech by philosophy, and we can't listen to him.
But philosophy, he's calling science philosophy.
Okay, there was no metaphysics and physics and science and philosophy and theology was all one thing back in the Middle Ages. Now, interestingly. Okay, you're right. But we're not getting into that analysis today. By the way, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says, okay, so do demons exist? Chazal say they do. The Rambam says they don't. The Ramban says they do. So he says, you know what? When Chazal said they exist, they exist. And when the Rambam says they don't exist, they cease to exist. And when the Ramban says they exist, they came back. Maybe that ties in with the Gemara, which is if you're worried about them, then they're worried about you. But if you're not worried about them, the mazel and brocha. Maybe not mazel and brocha. Just brocha and brocha. Okay? So, and by the way, there are people who don't say mazel tov. In our yeshuv, Rav, when there's a simcha, and Rav Rimon, Rav Yor bin Nun, they don't say mazel tov. They say birkat Hashem aleichem. Hashem should give you a brocha. So it's mazel and brocha, but without the mazel. Okay? So you can think about that. Next week I won't be here, but 2 weeks from now we will continue Hashgacha and we will finish with that topic. Okay? Bezrat Hashem.